Welcome to Beyond Standards, your source for authentic discussions about the world of teaching. Get ready to explore challenges, share inspiring stories, and discover strategies that will empower you to make a lasting impact on your students. Here are your hosts, who are trying to master the fine art of maintaining their sanity while managing a classroom, Joe Rohrhoff and Jeff Bologna.
What's up, fellow teachers, and welcome to the Beyond Standards podcast, where we dive deep into the unfiltered reality of teaching, sharing experiences, laughter, and practical insights that go beyond the fancy buzzwords and pointless acronyms that we as teachers hear all the time. I'm Joe, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my fellow middle school teacher, Jeff. Jeff, how are you on this wonderful Wednesday evening?
Joe, it's great to be back recording our podcast after our little break where we took some time for ourselves to recharge our batteries, check our mental health. But you know, it's been an interesting week. I was actually not in school last Friday, and we get this cryptid email, and you know, and it was like from our building principal, and it was like, hey, we need to have a staff meeting after our half day. And you know, right away, our group messages were blowing up. And I think we all kind of understood what was happening and what was going on. And so he called me and told me, but it was kind of a bittersweet trip that I had to take over the weekend because our principal announced he was retiring. You know, and so now we're at that weird phase where we have a principal who's outgoing. You've got a bunch of principals who probably are, you know, champing at the bit to get into his chair. And so there's just kind of this weird vibe in the building right now. I don't know, Joe, what are your thoughts on that?
I will say the culture of our building is absolutely amazing. Brad, our principal, he is a huge part of that. I would hate to see that culture disappear. So I am, like everybody else, intrigued on what comes next. Like who's coming in? You know, we've got a number of assistant principals in the district that are rumored to be applying, and I'm excited for the process. I will say I'm hopeful, but at the same time, I'm a little bit worried because, like I said, we have it pretty good at the school where we teach, and I would hate for that to get ruined. One of the things I love the most about my job is the freedom and flexibility that I'm given, and a lot of that is because of our principal is not a micromanager. He's a hands off in the sense of let you do your craft, let the teachers teach and do their thing, and I hope that continues, and I'm hopefully optimistic that it will.
That was the first thing that came to my mind was how great we have it and how awesome Brad has been as our leader. And then that fear of that unknown, right? You know, we have a really good assistant principal who I think will put his name in the ring, who I would probably endorse for that role because I know he would keep our culture pretty much kind of the same way. But, you know, there's always that unknown of someone else coming in, someone new coming in who doesn't kind of understand things like that. But another thing, Joe, I noticed I looked in your room this afternoon and you weren't there. There was a sub there. What was going on? Were you pulled into one of those great PDs that you have to do sometimes?
Yeah. Gosh, I felt like I was in such a good mood until you brought that up. Yeah. I was, and I don't like being pulled from my classroom, but there are certain times where as a teacher, you know, and I am pretty involved. I'm on, you know, I coach sports. I'm on a number of different committees where I get pulled out of the classroom, and I'm okay with that. I try to keep a policy of only becoming a part of a committee if it's something I'm passionate about and something that I care about. And I'm a member of our school's restorative practices team. And that is something that is fairly new to us as teachers. I know our school has, you know, kind of worn that badge for a while, but it's never really been pushed in professional development. It's never been pushed on the teachers. And this year it has, and it's part of our new administration from the top, our superintendent. That's one of the big things that he's pushing. And the more I learned about it, we had a professional development at the beginning of the year. And it's something that I felt like I walked away from, hey, these are some things, it's all about connecting with kids and connecting with your students and building relationships with them to try to prevent those problems. And that's something I'm a huge believer in. And so when I was asked to be a part of the restorative practices team, I did say yes, I would be a part of it. And I went to a training last week, pulled away a few more tips, you know, ways to connect with the students. And I'm not quite as happy with today's meeting with how our afternoon went. We got, you know, pulled out for this meeting to talk about a really serious issue An issue, I'm not going to get into the details on the podcast, but an issue with language amongst our eighth graders, just inappropriate, culturally insensitive language that's kind of being floated around to a number of different groups. And we came in with the plan to solve that problem or come up with a framework to solve that problem. And I feel like that spending a half a day with, you know, five people, we should have been able to come up with that. And we weren't. Like, I felt like we just dodged the actual issue that we talked about. You know, we talked about ourselves as teachers and we talked about lots of buzzwords floating around the room. And we had this really serious issue to deal with. And I felt like there were times in this meeting that we were on track. We were solving problems. We came up with some discussion points to have with our seminar students. And, you know, then all of a sudden we pull out a feelings chart and we point to where we are on the feelings chart. And we are totally sidetracked now with this meaningless feelings chart that, I don't know, I didn't really pull anything from that. And then we get back on track a little bit. And then we get back off track. We, you know, we pull out this other activity where you're going to like this one, Jeff. You tell I was a little annoyed with this one. So yeah, just as we're making some progress on the issue at hand, you know, we've got an hour left. Let's pump this out. Let's get this plan ready to go. And all of a sudden, you know, we're dividing a sheet of paper into quadrants and I put someone's name that I love on the sheet of paper. And I have to write down how many things I know about that person in a certain amount of time. So I put my wife's name down and I write all these things that she's interested in and the things that she loves and all that. And then, okay, that 5 minutes are up. We pull out another one. Now I have to write down the name of someone that's challenging to me. So naturally, as a teacher, I pick a student. I write that student's name down and we take some time. We write down how many things that I know about that student. And I get like there's a meaningful purpose behind it. The purpose of this is to point out to me and everybody else that participated that, yes, the more you get to know somebody, the better your relationship's going to be. And maybe if I got to know this student better, they would not be such a challenge for me. But to compare a student that I'm having challenges with to my wife, guess, Jeff, guess who I knew more about, this student or Jessica?
I'm going to guess Jessica.
Dynamite guess. Can I stop Dynamite you right
there?
Guess, JB.
Can I stop you? Let me just stop you right there. Wasn't the whole purpose was to deal with some of this language that's being used with our eighth graders and in trying to solve an issue that's going on? Why are we doing quadrants about people that we don't know and people that we know a lot about?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. And it's like, as we're making progress, we get sidetracked and we walked out of this meeting without a plan. And I felt like an afternoon away from my students, which was frustrating. And then I start to think about the dollars that our district is spending on this program to fly in a facilitator and have them stay with us. And I look at, could that money not be used to reduce class sizes? Could that money not be used for, you know, additional supplies or programs to benefit our students? And I'm not saying that this RP, Restorative Practices Program, is a bad thing. I'm just saying that I hope after all this training, I hope that our district follows through and does some of these meaningful things that they say they're going to do. Because so often we have these programs and they end up being a waste. We spend all this time on them and then we never put them into practice. So hopefully a year from now, I'm talking about how great, how we're implementing this stuff. But right now I'm frustrated.
And the things you just listed off, Joe, about lowering class sizes, getting supplies, getting more things for student supports, that's going to go a long way for us to, as teachers, to build those relationships that we've almost talked about in every episode of this podcast. Those are the things that's going to help, these RP practices that we need to do. That's awesome. I saw you after school today and I was like, oh, tonight on the pod, I'm going to have to ask him how it went, because I could tell you and the colleagues were a little frustrated on how the day ended for you.
Yeah, no, like I said, hopefully the next one will be better. Hopefully this was just a small blip on the radar of a long, I don't know, moving forward with the restorative practices. So I'll stay optimistic about it. I will end my rant now and I will jump back into a positive mood.
And for our listeners out there, I apologize that I got Joe off track, but I had to hear him vent.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I have this opportunity to do that. Ready to talk about the show today?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right, so we've done this once before. We're going to dive into some current events, some stuff going on the educational landscape across the country. We are going to head to Madison, Wisconsin, where they have a high school that is piloting standards-based grading for the district. And after that, we're going to head to Texas, where the Bandera School District recently voted to adopt a 4-day work week for our schools. So stay tuned. Hopefully we can have some thought-provoking discussions.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, I was reading through these earlier, just prepping for the show, and a lot of these things are things that are, you know, happening everywhere, happening close to us. I know a district near us went, they switched the start times and they went late start for like the middle school and the high school. So this 4-day work week one will be interesting to you know, unpack and everything like that. So I'm ready.
All right. So here's how it'll work. I'll give a quick intro to the topic. I'll kind of summarize the article that we read. I'll have the article available for anyone that wants to read the full article. That'll be available in the show notes. So click down below if you're interested in that. And then we'll just kind of reflect. We'll talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right. Here's a quick summary about our article on standards-based grading. In Madison, Wisconsin, there's a high school there that's testing a new grading method called standards-based grading. Instead of traditional letter grades, students are evaluated on a scale ranging from emerging to advanced based on their skills and proficiency in specific learning standards. The new system aims to provide more accurate representation of student progress over the course of a semester or a school year, focusing on what students need to know and be able to do. The transition to this system may bring challenges for teachers and parents adjusting to a different grading approach. So, Jeff, why don't you get us started? You read the article. Give us your thoughts on the article on standards-based grading. What pops into your head?
Well, you know, the first thing that pops into my head, Joe, is you mentioned the transition to this system may bring challenges. And, yeah, I think it's going to bring huge challenges. You know, you first off, you said in some of its classes at this high school, so, you know, not all the classes. So then that brings the question up, how are these classes being decided, right? So, you know, if my son is in a math class that is using standards-based grading and, Joe, your daughter is in a math class that's not using standards-based grading and your daughter gets, you know, proficient, which is a B, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and then my son gets, you know, 80%, which is a B minus, I don't understand how they're going to be doing that. Like, how are they deciding and, you know, how are they keeping it a level playing field? Also, there's these arbitrary words like emerging and advanced and developing and all that stuff. And I'm just curious about, like, who decides, you know, if you read the article, they have the grading scale that, that's going to be in the handbook for the parents and for the families. And it's, you know, it's all the fancy catch terms, you know, the buzzwords, like a deep understanding that goes beyond the learning target. Okay. So who's writing the learning target for each one of these lessons are they going to be handed to us as the teachers? And then it says consistently exceeds grade level expectations. Again, consistently, you have these words that, as a teacher, you're less like, I don't know if are they consistently doing this? Are they randomly doing this? So, you know, on the surface, it sounds, oh, it's great because, oh, it's going to show us what they know for, you know, talk about what they're learning and not just their performance. And so in theory, I guess it sounds good, but then it's, you know, when you break it down, I don't know as a teacher and as a parent, how you like relearn all these things. Joe, your thoughts.
My first question is, how is this different? How is this different than what we already do? And some of the things that standards-based grading talks about is, hey, we're not going to factor in attendance to this. It's just how well they know the standards. Fine. We don't really factor attendance into grades anyway. So we're not going to factor behavior into this. Great. We don't factor that in. We, at our school, at least, we have a separate citizenship grade, which I would say constitutes their behavior. That doesn't factor into their grade anyway. Most of the stuff that I like about this, we're already doing. And the idea of measuring a student, like finding another way to measure a student based on how much they know, we already have so many ways we do that. We measure how much a student knows when they take every standardized test, when they take the test they're already taking. We're already measuring how much they know. So that big thing that they're going after, I feel like, at least in my experience, that's already being captured, how much the kids know. And let me give you an example they used from the article. And they use it from I don't teach biology, but they gave an example from a biology class. This is one of the learning targets that they're going to be based on, or that they're going to be evaluated on. Does the student summarize, analyze, and apply important information from scientific graphs? Does the student use a claim, evidence, and reasoning to explain a phenomenon? I'm guessing that most of the biology teachers out there are already measuring that one way or another. So they're already measuring what they know. The one thing that I think changes between, I guess, a traditional grading system and standards-based is things like late work. Like, you don't count homework in standards-based grading. There's no penalty for late work because it's not based on when the student turns it in. It's based on, does this student know the content or do they not know the content? I think when you do that, when you take away things like penalties for work being late, you take away accountability. Where are we measuring these kids for accountability? If we're just measuring their test scores and how much they know content strands, are we really measuring them as a student? No, we're measuring, you know, their ability to memorize content. So I'm not a huge fan.
To build on that, Joe, that whole idea, you know, as a teacher, especially as a middle school teacher, you and I we're not only are we teaching our content, not only am I teaching my students how to write paragraphs and your students about, you know, the Constitution and things like that, is we're also teaching them about responsibility. We're also teaching them about accountability. We're also teaching them all these little minutia things that this just throws out the door. It doesn't make, you know, we're not teaching them any type of responsibility. If a kid can turn in a poem to me 3-4 weeks after we've already done it, I don't understand. Like, that's just an issue, you know, in itself that brings it up. Something that stood out to me, and I wrote this on my notes too, is how does this, you know, translate then when a kid goes to apply to college and they're ranked amongst their peers, right? So if, you know, at this high school, what about the neighboring district? So, you know, the neighboring district just does, you know, the regular traditional letter grades. So in the article, it says that students at this high school will receive a letter grade for each class at the end of the semester and maintain the GPA throughout the high school. The letter grades translates as follows. Advanced will equal A. Proficient will equal B. Developing will equal C. Emerging D. And then that was it. Okay, so that makes no sense because... And A, you know, there's a wide range, right? Like a 90% or an 89%. Those are, you know, wide ranges. So it just defeats the purpose. So what are we doing here? We're double grading? Are we? I don't know. I've got lots of questions.
I'll tell you what you're doing. You're adding an extra step. Because I laughed because that line that you just read out from the article comes like at the very end, and it's like they talk about all this standards-based, and the article is fair. It doesn't just blast it. It doesn't say it's great. It talks about both sides. But at the very end of the article, they're like, yep, and then we translate it back to the normal grade, A, B, C, and D. Well, what the hell did you do all that for if you're just going to translate it back? Like, that's all the kids are going to care about is, at least in the district we're in, what is that grade? How does that affect my GPA? How is that going to affect me getting into college? And you just did a big circle and did more work and sent your teachers to another couple professional developments and made them find the, you know, the most powerful. I remember when we were doing power standards. What are your power standards for your content? What the hell? Like, I've never talked about power standards since then. That was like 8 years ago. So it's like you're going through this cycle of things, and it just gets you right back to where you started. It's a bunch of extra steps.
Hold on. Think about the parents too. Think about how many parent emails in our district that we would have to field about, you know, oh, my daughter only got proficient. Why is that now only a B? But she got 9 out of 10 on the quiz, but you gave her proficient, but that should be an A-. And oh man, it would just open Pandora's box. I guess, you know, I'll leave you with this. Elementary school, my daughter's in first grade. Fine. Grader on a 1-2-3 scale. That's fine. Middle school, I can see maybe. But no, not by eighth grade. We're trying to get them ready for high school. High school, I think this is a terrible idea. That's just all I'm gonna leave it at that.
I think whether you're using a standards-based grading scale, an IB grading scale, Bill and Ted's excellent grading scale, whatever the hell grading scale you want to use, if you're just going to convert it back to an A, B, C, and D, what are you doing? What are you wasting your time? It's not worth it. It's not worth the extra time and effort you put in. And there was a great quote. I think we can end on this quote because it summarizes how I feel. And it seems like that's how you feel too, Jeff. For decades, schools have been using some version of standards-based grading. In education, we always relabel things and we want to talk about it as bright and shiny and new and different. And rarely that's true.
If you could see me right now, listeners, I'm dropping the mic because that's all Joe did right there. He just left us with that quote, and it's true. I mean, any rubrics we make, you have the standards in there. Did they do this? Did they do that? I mean, come on. Yeah, we're just putting a new name on it. Let's go to this next one. I think we might have different ideas on this one.
All right, jump into our second article now. And this is about the trend of schools moving to a four-day work week. Here is a summary of the article that we read. The Bandera Independent School District in Texas has unanimously voted to implement a four-day school week starting in the fall for its more than 2,000 students. The decision aims to address mental health concerns, reduce costs, and boost teacher retention. The four-day-a-week schedule will have 35 minutes added on to each day and will be in place for 1 year before reassessment. The district hopes the change will combat student burnout and stress, with board members also considering the potential benefits for teacher recruitment and reduced operational costs. Concerns have been raised about the impact of families with younger children, but the district is working to address these challenges. Jeff, thoughts?
All right. Well, when you and I were talking about this one earlier, you know, in theory, I think we both say, absolutely, this would be amazing, right? I mean, we're coming into a four... Yeah, right. We love our three-day weekends. We have one right now. Next week, we've got a PD on Tuesday, so we only see our students 4 days. I mean, everybody loves that in theory. We all would. Logistically, to me, this is a nightmare. There are so many red flags as a parent of a young child and also as a parent of a high school athlete. I have so many questions and so many, you know, red flags and, you know, sirens going off in my head. I was actually talking with my wife about this, but, you know, and she said the same thing. She's like, that would be awesome, but it doesn't seem feasible. My first issue is, and you read it in that last line, it all deals with childcare, right? I have a 6-year-old, I have a first grader. If the district she's in is a 4-day-a-week district and the district I'm in and my wife are in are not, what are we doing on Fridays? Right. In the article, it says they do have a local boys and girls club that has stepped up and said that they were going to offer childcare on Fridays. But that's like, is that going to be free? Is mm-hmm. that at a cost to me? When, you know, I hate to say, you know, schools like childcare, but she would be accounted for on those Fridays. And then the article also mentions, though, one of their biggest issues, too, is 50% of the students in that school district are free and reduced lunch. How do you make sure those students on that Friday are getting proper nutrition? How do you make sure they're getting that breakfast in the morning? How do you make sure they are getting lunch? Because, you know, we don't make sure on Saturdays and Sundays, and now you're adding another day to the parents and they have to, you know, maybe buy food and things like that. And then my third question deals with, you know, those Fridays. Fridays in the fall, in especially in Texas, are like, it's like a religion, you know, they go to school, they have their pep assemblies. What about students who play high school sports and are they not going to have practices on Fridays? What if they're only 14? Who's driving these kids to practice if mom and dad are at work? I just feel like there are way too many logistics and things like that, that it's not worth. I mean, I know they said they're only going to do it for a year, but it just seems like there's too many logistical nightmares for me to get behind this one. Joe, I know you're going to be the exact opposite, though.
Yeah, I love the idea of a 4-day work week. And for the obvious reasons, yes, I would love a 3-day weekend. Now, before you know, jump in and say, oh, 3-day weekend, they are adding time. I think the district, this specific district that the article talked about, was adding, I think, 35 minutes to every day.
Yes.
which doesn't equal, you know, you multiply that by four, that doesn't equal quite as much instructional time. So you are losing some instructional time, but I love the increased flexibility. I would love to follow up with this school at the end of the school year and see if they've see how they've addressed some of the concerns that you brought up, because you know, that who knows, maybe that child care or the
Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, the Boys and Girls Club. Maybe the Boys and Girls Club would be is a good solution. Maybe parents are happy sending their kids to that, and the kids get 4 days of, those kids get 4 days of school and one day where they're doing other like more fun activities. I'm a huge plan of or a huge fan of more recess, more playtime for kids, and maybe that provides them, maybe that Friday provides them that opportunity. Now, I know the reality of it, that's going to be a lot of high school kids sitting at home on TikTok for how many hours a day on Friday, which is frustrating. But I don't know, I feel like there's a happy medium in there somewhere. I've thought of the idea of like a flex Friday where maybe there's some online assignments or students have more like independent work time, but there's teachers in the school, you know, teachers come into work, or if they don't have anything they have to do at work, maybe teachers are given the flexibility to work at home. I love the idea of this school district trying it out, because I think the future of education involves more flexibility. It involves more online options for kids. We're already seeing those trends. It involves, you know, schools ending at different times, or school, you know, schools shortening their day, or schools starting at different times. I love when schools change this stuff, because it gives us experiments to look at, and we can try to figure out ways to improve our educational system.
You know, before, you know, any listeners that teach in the state of Michigan, you know, I'm sure your first initial reaction is, what about the student school days? And they address that in the article. And I found this really interesting. In 2015, the state of Texas, they changed their requirements. They went from 180 school days to 75,600 minutes per academic school year. So it left it up to the districts how they want to fill those 75,600 minutes. And a lot of this was to combat, they noticed that some of the rural areas were having a hard time filling some job vacancies. And so, you know, and it sounds like this district is having some issues with teacher retention because the cost of living in that area is pretty high. So their thought was, you know, maybe teachers would be more willing to teach in the district, maybe drive an extra 25, 30 minutes to work if it meant they only have to go in 4 days. Me personally, I think teacher retention would be higher if you paid your teachers a little bit more and you respected your teachers a little bit more. Yes, 3 day weekend would be great, but I'd rather have $15,000 more on my paycheck and go to work on Fridays. I think that would retain teachers more than giving them these things. But I do agree with you, Joe. I think it can't hurt to try, right? Try it for a year, see how it goes, and then revisit it.
Yeah, I do want to share some of the data, because this is obviously not the first district to ever do this. And this article included, you know, some anecdotal stuff, but then some specific data from studies that have been conducted on this 4 day work week. And I'm just going to generalize it here. But overall, teacher morale was up a little bit. A lot of that probably has to do with the flexibility. It does mention in the article also that, you know, like Jeff said, there is, for a typical teacher opening, there this district that experimented with this had four times the applicants for that opening. So I think that can help improve that can replace the instructional time piece that's missing, because you're missing a little bit of instructional time by getting better teachers in there. And of course, those things you brought up, Jeff, wouldn't hurt either, the increased pay and all the other benefits that teachers could get. But morale was up a little bit. Student achievement in general was down a little bit, you know, based on the limited number of, there was a number of studies on this, and they ranged from inconclusive to achievement scores slightly down. I'm guessing that was based on standardized testing. And another thing that kind of interested me is there was a study on bullying in districts like this, and they noticed that bullying went way down. And I would probably, you know, question the data on, you know, such a small sample size for the achievement or the bullying thing. But those are things to kind of keep an eye on, because if you can find ways to keep the achievement level up well, you know, reducing bullying and boosting teacher morale. I think there's a formula in there somewhere that is the best solution for kids, for parents, and the rest of the community.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of ideas that have been floated around. I mean, 4-day week, late starts on Wednesdays, early release Wednesdays, things like that. I mean, just any simple way to, you know, kind of combat that student burnout. This article also talks about how they're having a huge mental health crisis in this area and in the world. And, you know, these kids are exhausted. And Joe, you and I see it. I mean, Fridays are sometimes, you know, it's just a disaster because the kids just, I mean, would Thursday be the new Friday? I don't know. But, it, you know, kids are just,
right,
you know, they're cashed out by Friday afternoon.
Well, I think I'm going to test this out. I'm going to start taking every Friday off, starting with this Friday.
Let's see if
you,
yeah.
So I'll let you know. I'll let you know how I go.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be too different. I mean, you've been working a 4-day week all year, Joe. And how's your mental health? Are you feeling good?
Shut up. Feel great, Jeff. Thanks for asking. Appreciate you.
I don't know, Joe. I with the first article, I go thumbs down. This one, I'm kind of lukewarm on.
I'll go thumbs down on the standards-based grading also. I will go thumbs up. Let's give it a try on the second one.
I guess I wouldn't argue it if they wanted me to.
Yeah, you start getting those Fridays off, get yourself a place up north, spend some nice 3-day weekends up there.
I wouldn't hate my life.
All right, man. Any closing thoughts before we head out?
No, both of these are great. I would love to, you know, a follow-up on this one, the 4-day week, just to see what it says. That, like you said, check back in with them in a year. That would be amazing.
Yeah, we've also got some stories that we ran last time on our current events that I would love to update on. But I looked some stuff up before this, and I think it's best to wait till the end of the school year to update on, you know, how things are going in Houston and how things shake out with the state takeover of the district and those other stories we shared. So we'll definitely update our listeners on this stuff. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Please do us a favor, give us a like, give us a subscribe. And Jeff, I've got some exciting news, and I'm going to say it right now because that's going to hold me accountable for it. And we're going to create a TikTok account for Beyond Standards. Everyone says we're trying to get more and more listeners. And you talk to someone in marketing. I talk to, you know, my family. We've talked to other people, and they say, hey, like people want to see it on TikTok, or people want to watch the videos. And so we will, by the time you listen to this, have a TikTok account. I can't promise there'll be a single video on there. I'll try to get one up by Monday, but that will be something I work on. I said last week, we're going to take a week off, but I'm going to focus on some social media stuff. And I'm going to say this now to make myself do it, to hold myself accountable, like we try to do with the students. So come find us there. We'll be there probably at Beyond Standards. Go see if you can find us. That's my challenge for
you.
Does
that mean I have to get a TikTok account now?
Oh, yeah. Man. I think that would be a good idea.
All right. It's my excuse now to get on TikTok.
I've got one. I never use my TikTok app. I do my mindless scrolling on Instagram, like all the old people.
That's me.
So that's what old people do, apparently. The kids do it on TikTok, but I do mine on Instagram. Maybe that'll change. Like I said, like, subscribe, share, join us next week. I'm a little anxious for next week. We're going to have an administrator on our podcast for the first time. And we are going to, this will be an episode for anyone that is maybe thinking about changing jobs, or for new teachers that are looking for new jobs. We're going to talk to an elementary principal about what they look for when they are, you know, looking to hire new teachers. So give you maybe some job interview advice, some preparation advice for that. So please join us next week for that. I'm really looking forward to it. This is Joe and Jeff signing off, reminding you to keep going above and beyond those standards, because you may not make a lot of money, but you do make a difference.